Hey, welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon in the final hour here on 97.1 FM Talk. And, you know, I should say, by the way, every time that I get the pleasure of being able to fill in, I always have that Channel 5 app on the TV, and I do watch their 6 o'clock news every night to make sure that I am up to date with what's going on in the great city of St. Louis. By the way, in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Scott Fitzpatrick. He is the Missouri auditor, and they issued a release today, and I read the whole thing, so you don't have to. I'm showing the camera there. I read the whole thing, so you don't have to, and Scott Fitzpatrick is here to tell us about their findings. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, man. Happy to come on with you. Good to talk to you.
Now, you guys released a audit of the St. Louis Public Schools and found that the St. Louis Public Schools have a poor rating. Walk us through this this audit.
Sure. So there were several findings in the audit, obviously, and the other thing I would stress is this is part one of two of our audit reports for the St. Louis Public Schools. We decided to break it into two reports because, number one, it's a very large district. It's one of the largest in the state, obviously. And number two, just the volume of issues that were presented during the audit in terms of like the number of findings and the scope of the report. It was very broad. And so we wanted to look at kind of the high-profile things first that everybody was concerned with, and the city officials were calling an audit as a result of some of these things that were in the news, or calling for an audit, I should say, as a result of some of these things for the news from the news. And so we looked really in the first report at their budgetary situation, their financial condition, their hiring and firing practices, salaries, credit card use, and procurement processes and procedures. And there were a lot of issues, obviously, with those things. And really the big concern for me coming out of the report is really just the financial trajectory of the district and the fact that they're budgeting $35-ish million per year deficit spending. And they did that for the last fiscal year as well as the fiscal year they just started in July. And at the pace that they are budgeting at, the district would be out of money by 2031. So That's something that's going to be really critical for them to fix very soon, because they're, you know, going to enter a pretty critical territory in terms of their fund balance in the next few years if they don't solve that problem.
Well, so can I ask you, for a simpleton like me, so if they're budgeting 30 some million over what they bring in, where is that 30 million coming from?
Well, they have a fund balance. So they built up a fund balance through the COVID years. There was a lot of extra revenue that was coming to schools during that period of time, a lot of one-time money or temporary funding, I should say, that was part of some of the pandemic era bills that passed, as well as, you know, there was a lot of extra state funding that was sent to them during that period of time. And so they built up a fund balance that's allowed them a cushion from which they can spend more than they're bringing in on an annual basis for a limited period of time. But eventually that will not work anymore.
Now, you guys also found that they were paying $3.5 million in attendance incentives, which you say is a violation of the Missouri Constitution. Can you explain that?
Yeah, the Missouri Constitution broadly prohibits payment for past performance for public employees. So that applies to state government, it applies to counties, cities, school districts, and every other political subdivision of the state, that you cannot issue essentially a bonus to an individual for past performance. They basically have to have a salary, agreed upon salary schedule, but the bonuses are prohibited. And so the district created this incentive program that they were paying out. They paid out, as you noted, $3.5 million in this incentive program. So a lot of which was paid regardless of whether individuals actually met the attendance requirements. It wasn't even if it was constitutional, they didn't actually apply the program the way they said they were designing it. But it's just an unconstitutional way of paying people. And, you know, when you're talking about a district that size, $3.5 million, that's a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of taxpayer money to be used in a way that is in violation of the Constitution.
Now, I also, the expenditures here, I kind of had to start laughing, Scott, because the first thing you mentioned is a Topgolf rental for almost $4,000. Did you dig in and see what they were actually using that Topgolf rental for? What was the event the schools were using that for?
I think they did. There was some, I don't know if it was a team building or what the event was. I remember hearing an explanation for it at one point, but you're right. I mean, we did a sample. When we do an audit, we basically select a sample of a population. And in this case, there was 1.4 million in transactions or purchases using their 24 purchasing cards from June of 2023 through August of 2024. And so we selected 27 of those transactions to just test if they were questionable or unreasonable or not. And of the 27, what we found was that 17 were problematic. So, 63% of the sample was problematic. And you're right. I mean, we had the almost $4,000 to Topgolf. There was a $1,700 charge for a 4-night stay at the Caesars Palace Resort in Las Vegas. And then another almost $1,300 for a mystery Airbnb rental that nobody can explain what that was for that was charged on the superintendent's card. So those are just some examples of the $1.4 million of credit card purchases that we identified in our sample that were problematic.
Man, I wonder what Odyssey would do if I charged them a 4-night stay at the at Caesar's Palace. I mean, my gosh, these I mean, reading this report, it seems like some of the officials were kind of living high or are kind of living high.
Well, yeah, I mean, we included in the report, and I actually, asked the audit staff to add at the end of the report an appendix showing just the what the superintendent calls her cabinet, the cabinet positions, and you'll see there's 12 cabinet positions, and if you total up, I haven't done the math, but I'd be interested because the governor of Missouri has 16 cabinet members. There's 16 departments. I think that the St. Louis Public Schools superintendent's cabinet total salary was more than the governor of Missouri's cabinet. So they clearly had a lot of administrative positions, at the school district. It's just a tremendous salary. When you're looking at the salaries, a lot of these people are in the, high 100s in the, to the 200,000, mark in terms of their salaries. And they're all public employees. I mean, you can look at state government. You won't find hardly anybody making that kind of money in state government. So they're definitely, very high salaries, lots of administrative staff, the cabinet being almost the size of the cabinet of the governor of Missouri, is pretty unbelievable.
So you said this is part one. There's going to be a second one. What should we look for in that release?
Sure. Yeah. So, we're going to look at other kind of more school district specific items in that. We're looking specifically at what happened with the transportation issue that exploded on the district right before school last year, how they ended up in that situation. Did they not have provisions in their contract that allowed them to recoup the cost of replacing that vendor, when they had a short notice cancellation like that? We're going to look at the real estate. The school district owns a tremendous amount of real estate that is blighted and that is not in use. They also have a lot of school buildings that are very underutilized. Maybe they're designed for 1,000 kids and they've got a couple hundred kids in them or something like that. So we're going to look at kind of the use of their fixed assets. We're going to look at their attendance policies and tracking, when kids are coming to school and how they report on that. There will be, security, safety drills, a lot of the things that, can impact student safety, student performance, and those sorts of things. So it's really going to be more school district specific type issues that will be in that second report.
Would you expect or have you seen similar things in other big city school districts?
Well, there's been very little auditing of schools prior to my administration by the state auditor's office. And so when we took office, the office was very understaffed. We have tried to ramp up the school auditing program so that we've always had a couple of schools under audit the whole time during the 2.5 years that I've been here. And so we've issued the other large district we've issued a report on was Francis Howell. We're getting ready to issue a report on the independent school district over by Kansas City. And obviously there were a lot of issues at Francis Howell. I don't know if you ever saw that report, but Francis Howell was a district that had a lot of problems. They had a high school that they built that was supposed to cost $80 million that ended up costing like $160 million. So we looked at their procurement process, their construction process that they went through on that high school, and how they ended up in such a terrible position on that deal. Independence is not out yet, but I'll just go ahead and tell you. I mean, it's a pretty good report. They're doing a fairly good job over there running their school district. But I would say St. Louis takes the cake in terms of problems. Many more problems than Francis Howell was dealing with.
Well, Scott, we appreciate you joining us and breaking it down.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
That is Scott Fitzpatrick. He is Missouri State Auditor, and he and his team released an audit of the St. Louis Public Schools. Yeah, the almost $4,000 for Top Golf rental. That one stuck out. Obviously, four nights at Caesars. I'd like my employer to give me four nights at Caesars, let me tell you. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon, and we are back after this.